On this episode, I discuss my food experience, how I look at nutrition, why I decided to try a high-fat diet, my understanding of the ketogenic diet, and what a ketogenic meal looks like. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Almost Athlete podcast, where I discuss insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle that I have gained over the years. Through my experiences, I have encountered countless numbers of people who have injuries, aches, pains, limitations, and health challenges. I believe the vast majority of these could be solved, minimized, or altogether avoided with some basic insight into anatomy and physiology principles, as well as an understanding of wellness, including nutrition and daily habits. My goal is to bridge the gap from the lack of digestible, easy-to-understand information to actionable insights for a more functional, happy life. This episode is brought to you by Partners Crackers. At Partners, our family makes everything from scratch using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Our gourmet cookies, crackers, and granola are wholesome and baked to a crispy crunch without preservatives or hydrogenated oils. This is real food, naturally. Family-owned, simply delicious. Partners Crackers. What I wanted to talk about today was a topic that I get asked about a lot and is one that is very broad and I'm sure is going to take us down many different rabbit holes here today and in some future podcasts, but I was hoping that we could just dive right in. So this is the topic of nutrition, diet, food, whatever you want to call it. But I like to think of it about nutrition because that's really what it's about, right? It's about figuring out what we need to consume to give our body the fuel for what we want to do. So let's dive right into nutrition and from my lens and kind of my standpoint on this stuff. So this is something that I've been intrigued with probably since I can remember as a kid. I'm starting out, I remember even in elementary school being interested, not necessarily of nutrition in the way that we oftentimes think about it as calories and macronutrients and micronutrients and vitamins and minerals and all these types of things, but more that I was just amazed that specifically athletes and bodybuilders, but these people could change what they consumed and what they did with their body and have a different outcome as far as what their body could do, performance-wise or even aesthetics-wise. And that was really my first kind of interest into nutrition because I realized we're all very similar as human, although there's some people that definitely have a different genetic makeup than others. And we can see that a lot on the sports field as well as just in daily life, but we have a lot of similarities and I've seen a lot of people, and I'm sure you have as well, even at that point in my life that had made changes to their bodies, you know, and that could have been positive changes or negative changes, but by changing what they ate and changing what they did, their bodies changed. And that really made an impression on me at an early age. And I think ever since then, I had just been really fascinated with food, nutrition, exercise, fitness, and kind of the combination of those things together. And that's what I would describe as wellness, and which would include sleep and environments and mental or psychological standpoint, just kind of how you are, your view on the world, and if you're happy or not. Those things are really, really important, I would say, when it comes to wellness. So for me, I would say really since I was young, I tried to optimize my nutrition, for lack of a better term. And this doesn't always mean that I would eat perfect all the time, because I think what I thought was perfect was and has been constantly evolving over the years. But for the knowledge that I had at the time, I would always try to do my best within the rules that I understood. So let me explain what I mean here with an example. So I think as far as I understood nutrition for a very long time, it mattered most what you ate as far as the macronutrient makeup and the total caloric value. So the macronutrients are proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, and we can put pretty much all foods in those categories, with a few exceptions. And this is going to dictate how many calories that food has. So all of this, I believe, is a little oversimplification of kind of how to think about food, but we'll come back to that point. But just for a kind of a basic understanding of the language, so 1 gram of protein and 1 gram of carbohydrates are each 4 calories, whereas 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. And so for the same volume, you have a different caloric load. So you can think about that. Another way would be if you're going to have, you're at the kitchen of a master chef and you have a bunch of different ingredients and you're going to take a spoonful of some random stuff and compare. If you were to take the exact size spoonful of butter, that's going to be a lot more calories than if you were to take that spoonful of, say, a potato or broccoli or almost anything else that you can think of that's not in the category of fat like the butter is. And so that's an important concept that we'll touch on later as well. But so for my understanding, again, about nutrition at this point, which was, you know, early on, and I would say I even probably didn't understand these principles until more high school time, until I realized that having a six-pack was something that I wanted to aspire to, because I think, who doesn't want that? I mean, come on. So, I definitely started to, every time I learned something about nutrition, I would try to apply it to myself and see if that, you know, really held true. And that's been the way that I've tried to approach it really my whole life. And I think that's can be good and that can be bad. But I think especially if you're, you know, have some sort of ailment or nutritional challenge that may cause extra stress to your body, I think if you're changing too much, that can be a problem. And I definitely have gone through stages of that myself. And so I think it's really important to educate yourself as much as you can, read as much as you can, listen to as many people as you can. But, you know, and then you're probably going to have to set up tests with yourself and kind of see how your body responds to things. And so, you know, again, this is my experience and my story that I've had with nutrition, but I really think it can be drastically different person to person. So something to keep in mind. So, but as I was saying with the nutritional understanding, so I think that I kind of fell into kind of a limited mindset that I think, unfortunately, a lot of people find themselves in. And this is where, you know, again, the oversimplification of my understanding of nutrition, I think, led me to make rules for myself of how to eat and that doesn't necessarily make sense for what I was trying to optimize for. So based on my understanding with what I just explained about just the macronutrients, I would try to optimize for a specific macronutrient ratio that depended upon how much exercise or training I was doing, but would be somewhere around 40% protein, maybe 40% carbohydrates, and 20% fat. And those are rough numbers, but I would say that's a fairly accurate depiction of what my nutrition looked like at the time. And that was what I was going for. And that was really, to the best of my understanding, the best way to, 1, put on lean muscle mass, 2, stay lean and be able to have that six-pack that I wanted, 3, have enough energy to work out hard, but also sustain myself throughout the day. And 3, really just trying to eat for health. And for me, that meant, you know, not just muscle and being skinny, but also feeling good, not getting sick, and, you know, potentially living for a long time. And if I am, I wanted to have a body that's been supported with good nutrition. So that's kind of my view at the time, and it was my approach. And although this seems good and probably similar to what maybe a lot of you out there are doing with your nutrition, the more that I learned and the more time that I spent eating like this, I definitely found some road bumps. And maybe this is just my unique experience, but I think it's something that's worth sharing. So one of the big road bumps is the fact that I just have constantly had stomach problems over the years. And that could be something as mild as just an upset stomach from, you know, after eating food, to having, you know, extra trips to the bathroom, let's say, frequently, and not really understanding what that's associated with, other than just, you know, with eating in general. And so, I had really decided that it was time for me to kind of make a change and try some more specific approaches to where I'm figuring out what's causing these issues and seeing if I could eliminate them from my diet or make some adjustments that would better suit me at the time. And so I tried paleo diet for about, I would say, 2 months and was feeling good, although felt like I was a bit on the under calorie side of things. You know, I felt like I had a hard time getting enough of what I was allowed to eat, I guess is a way to think of it, even though I don't like to put those rule kind of labels on things. But within the paleo style of eating, for me, a big change was not eating legumes. So I ate a lot of black beans prior to that. And so that was a big source of calories for me that I had to make up somewhere else. And I found that to be a little bit of a challenge. I also found that for me, the frequency of eating can sometimes be an issue where it's, you know, if I need to eat every couple hours to maintain the right amount of calories throughout the day, I oftentimes am unable to do that simply because I get caught up in a project or with work, I'm unable to take those times away to eat. And so that was something that I kind of struggled with and really have for a while. And so the other thing that I found after the eating paleo, I ended up ending that poorly. I had a night out with some friends, went drinking, not a good way to end a really strict, clean eating regimen, so I don't recommend that, but I was definitely sick for a couple days, and then went back to eating a little wider variety of foods, and just continue to have some issues with digestion and stomach pain, and I decided to try more of an elimination style diet where I specifically take out a food for a period of time and then reintroduce it and see what the effects are. This can be done in many different ways, and this is something you probably want to be approaching your doctor or dietitian with. Really, you need to do that with any dietary changes, especially if you're taking medication or if you have any other issues going on. But what I found was that if I was paying attention to the stuff that I was trying to modify and trying to do one at a time, that was often easier for me to focus on and see what was really the culprit. And so I eliminated multiple things, but then I would reintroduce one at a time. And for me, that was kind of a good approach. So I found that through that process, wheat was a really big problem. Corn, lesser, but still a problem. Rice, even lesser, but still could be a problem for me. And so I just decided it was just not worth it to continue to consume grains or like starchy foods on a regular basis. I ended up tossing out potatoes too, not really because I have a problem digesting them, because decided to kind of take a little bit different approach to nutrition. And that was eliminating more of the starchy, carbohydrate-rich foods that don't really provide much nutrient density other than the carbohydrates they're providing. And, you know, when I say nutrient density, I'm specifically talking about vitamins, minerals, and things that are going to provide more building blocks for my body for all the things that I'm going to demand of it, whether that's life stresses, exercise, or anything else. And so I decided to, after I eliminated the grains, continued to kind of make some adjustments and try to figure out the best approach to eating. And through this time, I continued to hear about the ketogenic diet, which was something that I was unfamiliar with up until this point. And the more that I read about it, the more that I realized, you know, there's something to be said for at least looking at how much fat that I'm consuming. And one, am I getting the right kind of fat? And two, am I getting enough of that fat? So I started to pay attention to that a little bit more with my eating and realized that I was definitely not getting enough fat. And so that's something that I first started doing, was just trying to add more fat after eliminating the grains. This was, it was kind of a welcoming thing, because a lot of the foods that I now was focusing on consuming more was delicious stuff, you know, avocados, which you can make into all kinds of delicious meals, adding more coconut oil with cooking, which I think is a fantastic taste, more grass-fed butter to things that we make, whether that's even just vegetables that we're going to heat up a little bit and put some butter on. I mean, it always adds a little extra flavor and depth to what you're eating. And if it's going to allow me to have better nutrient density and quality, I think that's even a better thing. So, but again, it depends on what you're optimizing for. So once I decided that I'm going to start adding some more fats in my diet, I did so. And then I really kind of dove deep into learning about the ketogenic diet, or at least as much as I could through books, self-experimentation, and lots of internet search. So again, I'm definitely not a doctor or a nutritionist or a dietitian, but this is, you know, my experience and my approach to this stuff. And this is kind of my understanding of what the ketogenic diet is. And so I'll kind of explain that. And then I think we'll kind of leave off there for today's podcast. And then we'll pick up next time, where I can kind of pick up where we left off today and figure out some of the specific approaches that I've had and that I've found helpful eating this way. I'm now a year and a half into eating a ketogenic diet, and honestly do not see a reason why I would ever want to change, unless I found out for some reason that this is not supporting my body in the way that I feel that it is, and that the doctor tests and everything have shown. So, but you know, again, that we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. But today I just wanted to explain my understanding of the diet and kind of my approach to it, and at least getting started. So the way that I understand the ketogenic diet is that it was developed sometime in the early 1900s. I believe it was the late 1920s, early 1930s, somewhere in that time frame, where it was developed to help kids that had epilepsy with seizures that were not manageable with medication. And I believe the way the story went, that they figured out that when the kids did not have an increase in blood sugar or insulin, then they did not have their seizures. And so what they decided to do was, let's see if we can figure out a nutritional approach to this, because when we fast them, they don't have the seizures, but that's not an indefinite sustainable state. You cannot always fast. You eventually will die. So that you can only do that for so long. So what they decided to do was, well, let's dive into that fasting state, which we now know your body gets into ketosis when you're fasting. So is there a way to mimic fasting while still eating? And so When a normal person fasts, whether that's you or me, depending on what you've eaten previously and maybe a little bit of physiology, it's going to take maybe a day or so for our body to consume all of the stored glucose in our body. And whether that's in our gut or in our liver or in muscle cells, we're going to go through that stuff in about that time frame. So, you know, let's say a day and a half. And after that, our body gets to a point where it has to decide, do I continue to try to consume glucose, which I'm running out of, or do I switch to a fuel source that I have plenty of? And it decides to make that switch. And that fuel source is ketone bodies. And the ketone bodies are fat substrates. So your body starts to break down body fat, converts that into ketone bodies, which then it can consume for fuel. And so, and that's a little, that's definitely an oversimplification of the steps in the physiology. But again, this is kind of the best way that I've been able to understand it. And so, you know, bear with me here for a moment. So if we can then get into that state through fasting, then our body will again start to burn fat for fuel rather than glucose as fuel. And turns out that that's actually a preferential fuel source for our brain and for our some of our muscle cells. And so that's a positive thing. And the other interesting thing is that because we now can teach our body, or I guess not even teach, but tap into that physiological state of ketosis, then our body can consume dietary fat for fuel, or it can consume body fat for fuel. And so depending on the type of fat it is, it might have to go, it's going to have to do some converting, and, but that's going to have to happen also with body fat. And, but this is a very interesting concept. And once I really wrap my head around that, it kind of made me step back for a moment and really question if I truly know what I thought I know about nutrition. Because it seemed like what I was understanding was this is basically an alternative option to eating the way that I was always taught that I should eat and is the proper, quote unquote, proper way to eat. So, you know, really what this told me was maybe there's another option. And so, you know, again, the idea is that if we can train our body to not use glucose as its fuel source, then we can, as its main fuel source, I should say, then we can optimize for these ketone bodies or fat substrates as our primary fuel source. So we will then burn more body fat and not have to eat as often because we have this buffer of food around our body, which is our body fat. So that was something that really intrigued me. So for me, I decided to kind of take the plunge into eating this way, especially because I felt like I was already very close. Now, as I dove deeper and really looked at what the ketogenic diet means, I realized I was a little further away than I first thought, but could still make those adjustments to kind of get to where I wanted. And so the macronutrient ratio of the ketogenic diet per the scientific ketogenic diet that they study in some of these tests are, it's a pretty extremely high fat diet. So I want to say off the top of my head, it's somewhere around 80%, 75-80% fat, and then maybe about 20%, 15% protein, and then 5% carbohydrates, very, very low, or less. And so I was definitely not there. So what I found was trying to get to that ratio didn't really work. I did my best. I played around with a bunch of different things and I just couldn't get there. But what I found was I could get to what's described more of like a modified ketogenic diet, or a modified Atkins diet is another term that they'll use for that. But basically it's a little bit more protein. So my ratios are probably 70% fat, about 20% protein, 20 to 25, and then 5 to 10% carbohydrates. And I know that doesn't seem like much of a difference, but it really can be. So, you know, let's look at a real world example that you can kind of picture to know, to say what I'm talking about. So, the way that I would have a meal before eating this way is, let's use a hamburger. So I had my hamburger, no bun. I would have maybe some cheese on the hamburger, a side salad, side vegetables. Sounds like a pretty good meal, pretty healthy. Well, and that is. And the difference is that now that I'm optimizing for this specific macronutrient ratio to keep my body in this ketogenic or fasting-like state, then I need to have less protein, because protein in excess will convert to carbohydrates, or actually convert to glucose through a process called gluconeogenesis. So it's the conversion of the excess amino acids to glucose. And so that's the reason why we don't want to eat too much of that at one time. And so instead, now what a plate would look like for me is going to be half of the hamburger with maybe some bacon also to increase the fat. It's also going to increase the protein. I then will add extra avocado on the salad. I'll increase the size of the salad. I'm going to make sure that I'm getting a lot of good fibrous rich vegetables, which is going to help my body with digesting the fat. And then I'm going to keep those vegetables on the side and pour a little bit of MCT oil on top, which is coconut oil with the solids taken out, and spice it up maybe with some hot sauce, and there you go. So it doesn't seem like a big difference, but those minor adjustments shift the macronutrient ratio to be in a favorable ketogenic state. So again, that's kind of one example of something that I would do for a meal right now. And that's the reason why I decided to give this a shot. And so that, you know, what I'm describing here is probably about close to a year and a half ago now, which I have found again to be one of the best year and a half as far as how my body feels and nutrition wise. As I've progressed through this, there's been a lot of different stages, but I can give you kind of a few quick overviews, and then we'll pick up next time where we leave off today. So, you know, just a few kind of things to keep in mind for me is, one of the questions I thought when I was learning about this was, with no carbohydrates, how am I going to have any energy? And even though we kind of talked about that already, about we're optimizing for just a different fuel source, it's different. It's still going to be fuel. But I just really couldn't buy into that. And I thought I was going to really sacrifice with training, you know? And so for me, a typical training week is probably somewhere between 4 to 5 CrossFit workouts, plus another maybe 1 to 2 more casual workouts in the week. And those, every once in a while, I'll double those up, but it's usually one day off with maybe 1 or 2 non-CrossFit workouts. And then again, the rest being that. So, so it's not like I'm not doing anything. I'm definitely staying active. I wake up at 5. I am busy throughout the day and staying active while I'm, whether that's sometimes physical and sometimes that's more mental, but this has supported me. And I would say even more so than before, whereas I no longer experience these big energy kind of spikes before or when eating, and then a crash afterwards, or spike from my coffee, and then by the 4th coffee in the early afternoon, it doesn't seem to make a difference, and feeling tired, and all those things have changed. And so I think it's not just the diet. I think the diet's been a part of it. I think optimizing for sleep and other things have been also helpful, but I really believe that optimizing the way you're eating and making sure that you're eating the way that your body really needs is of the utmost importance. And whether that's the ketogenic diet or something else, I think it's important that you do a nutritional audit for yourself. Take a step back and look at what you're eating in the week, and, you know, make the decisions based on what you're trying to shoot for or optimize for. Are you eating what you had tonight for dinner because that's just what you had? or what you had last night or what you got last week. I mean, it's so often I think we just get in these patterns and we become cyclical, and you know, maybe we don't think of trying something new. I think a lot of it's because change is uncomfortable, and that's for anything, you know, and it's the same with our physical training or when we're trying to make new habits around health. It's change is uncomfortable. And if you know that going into it, you can hedge your bets a little bit. And I think making changes can be a little easier. I also find that for myself, making one change at a time and focusing on trying to be good at that one change and then adding another one has been the best way for me to make a lot of changes, and they start to stack up. Once you see that you can do one thing positive consistently for a while, it's easy to know that you can do another, and then you just start adding those things up. And it's amazing how that can start to grow and compound over time. And so I think, you know, again, to kind of sum things up here for today, I think ultimately, it's important that you take a look at your own nutrition. Think about what your goals are. Are you trying to get stronger? Are you trying to get leaner? Are you trying to make some big changes? Whatever it is, you need to make sure that you take a look at that. Don't just fall into the rut and do what you did today because that's what you did yesterday. And I think it's important that we, you know, take a chance to look at all our aspects of our lives at times. But nutrition, I think, is one of the most important ones. So take a look at what you're eating. We'll rendezvous back here soon, and then we can dive deeper into the ketogenic diet, my experience, some things that I've learned, and some tips and tricks that I can help you with that can maybe allow your journey on this way of eating or any other way of eating to be hopefully a little bit smoother. Thanks for listening. To find out more about insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle, visit www.thealmostathlete.com. Check out my blog, and there's lots more stuff to learn. Thank you.